And Oklahoma and Texas are in Sandestin. They're part of these discussions because they're going to be part of it. We've got one more year left of the current format inside the SEC. Then it changes. It will be divisionless. That part is not debatable, as far as I know. They're doing away with East and West. Lots of leagues are doing that as well. Charles Arbuckle with us. And, hey, Buck, appreciate you being here. How was Memorial Weekend for you? I don't hear him there, Pat.
It was a lot of rain. Sorry about that, Bill. I think I had you on mute accidentally. A lot of rain. But once the rain kind of subsided on Sunday, I decided to go out there and smoke a little bit of meat. So I was able to get that in. But, yeah, it was a pretty wet Memorial Day weekend in Charlotte. Finally cleared up yesterday.
It's hard to have a Memorial weekend and not smoke some meat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Isn't that hard? I mean, I find the same thing, man. You know, you look around and you're like, God, oh. And if it's raining like it was, I was just waiting for it to clear up because I just wanted to get out on the backyard and get that pit moving.
Charles Arbuckle with us. Buck, we were just talking various league meetings going on down in Florida. You've got the SEC, Big 12's meeting over in West Virginia, scheduling formats, expansion. We've had, heck, the last two summers, Buck, not spring meetings, but around the middle of July, we've had the Southern Cal UCLA news, the Oklahoma Texas news. Do you think there is something really big out there, nuclear bomb-wise, metaphor-wise, that's going to drop this summer like those?
No, I don't know if there will be, Bill. I think, you know, we've kind of heard Utah and Colorado thinking about the Big 12, right? I mean, that's kind of been out there for a while. I don't know. I mean, this ACC group of teams, I'm just wondering how that Grant of Wright must be super strong, right? It must be airtight because we keep hearing the ACC people that aren't happy, but I don't think they can do anything with that right now. And, you know, I guess we're starting to hear from USC that their athletic director was just – he was not easy to deal with, right? I mean, that was the one thing that kind of came out of the news where they're doing a multi-AD kind of situation right now. So I don't think we're going to hear anything catastrophic, but every time I say that around this time, you know, May, June time frame, we always get something that comes out of this and we're like, whoa, didn't see that coming.
Down in Sandestin, Buck, the prevailing topic is the future schedule, 1-7 versus 3-9. 3-9 was the overwhelming favorite, but maybe not so much as we go into these meetings. By Friday, we may have some closure on that, a decision. But if they go to 1-7, Alabama, Tennessee, and Buck, Auburn, Georgia, even though they haven't told us this, but Scott Strickland told us Georgia, Florida sticks no matter what. So Auburn, Georgia, the oldest rivalry, goes 99.
Yeah, so, Bill, it's interesting that's starting to come out, right?
Yeah.
With the scheduling, how do they go about doing that? Because there's some old rivalries, right, that have been there forever, and, you know, folks don't want to see that go away. Will you then eventually put them at later dates, or how would you do it? I'm with you. When I started reading about how their formats, whether it's 8 conference game or 9 conference game, it got really interesting because the SEC has held kind of fast that they weren't going to go to 9 unless they had to, and I think they're starting to be forced that way. But are they really being forced that way, right?
Yeah.
No. So it's interesting to see because the schools like those FCS schools or those schools that are in the state that have made money in that November time frame are probably saying, no, don't go away from that. But now that you're adding Texas and Oklahoma, I think people want to see competitive games, no matter the old format of East or West. I know that that's going to, eventually go away as well. It's just so many different variables. I am glad that I took a few classes on probability and statistics, but I'm glad I'm not the guy that has to do this right now because you can't make anybody happy. You're not going to make the fans completely happy. You're not going to make the schools completely happy. And ultimately, the TV folks aren't going to be completely happy because there's some of those rivalries that still bring them some dollars on weekends that maybe you wouldn't have as strong a weekend, but you still have those teams playing. So I'm really interested to see how they work through those difficulties. But again, we're talking about first world problems. The SEC is strong as all get out. They're going to make money no matter what you put on the TV, and I think they're going to be okay. We don't have to worry about Commissioner Sankey and his pocketbooks or those schools and the money that they're going to make just from – let me just tell you one thing, too, Bill. As I travel, I see people with Bulldog hats, Auburn hats, you know, Florida. Like I saw a lady yesterday, and I say, go Dogs. Get to talking to her, and she went there. Her sister went to school there. It's deeply rooted about the love for it. Even if they don't love football, they love the school. And a lot of times, the men, as much as the women, or both, love football. They might not care about anything else, but they care about, you know, their school, LSU, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Alabama. And that's something that, if you look across the country, and when people think, that's the kind of thing you want to have. So when your fans are that passionate about their schools, you can do a lot of things and you'll make a lot of money, and those folks will attend those games no matter where you hold those games.
Charles Arbuckle is with us. I'm not necessarily a fan of pay-per-view, but if they put, let's say the SEC Network said, we'll show you the football coaches meeting today and tomorrow talking about the scheduling, and not that I think that, for example, Jimbo and Nick are going to get up there and fight or something. That's long gone. But I just love to hear the conversation and how they pound out what they think the scheduling ought to look like, 8 versus 9.
Yeah, Bill, I would love that too, because a lot of times we hear the rhetoric afterwards, and you don't always know which guy is bluffing, saying he did this or did that, right? It would be nice to see it in real time so you can say, oh, I see what his angle is. And the reason why, right? You want to know kind of the why of what they're doing things. But I agree with you. It'd be really nice to see more of that so you could get a real good appreciation. And then also, I'm sure there's conversation in those football meetings or those coaches' meetings for basketball or whatever where some of this gambling stuff just came up, right, with the baseball coach, Brad Bohannon. I'm sure those things are talked about in a vacuum. We don't get to hear them, but it would be nice to be able to understand, because think about this. If you are as popular as the SEC is, there's going to be some chinks in the armor and people trying to poach your guys. I played football at UCLA in the 80s, man. We had kids that were bookies that were working for people that brought money. It wasn't as organized as it is now, but gambling has become a major issue. And I don't care what anybody says, the enticement of money can sometimes not be good, especially for people that have not come from money or trying to make more money, or they just like to gamble. So I know there's things that are happening where they're talking about this gambling issue and trying to make sure they can stay clear and clean of it. But it's a fine line, because the lines are blurred now that you have all of these states that are becoming – it's becoming legalized, and it's becoming that you see ads and ads and ads on TV about that. So those kind of things, I'd love to hear what the conversation is, because if all these coaches are really good and all these commissioners and all these things are really good because they're usually proactive, I'd like to know the proactive policies and things that they're doing around that to make sure they keep their kids and their coaches and everybody else clear. Generally, you think of a player, but this time it was a coach. Trust me when I say this, and trust out there, you've got to make sure you're vigilant to help protect your players, your coaches, your administrators, your guys maybe that are in the locker room that are equipment guys. It can be very pervasive, because people want to get to you as best they can and know how they can set their lines and do that. I'm not a gambler, but I know enough about how that works and had enough conversations with authorities and FBI about how they approach you to find out how to make you come away with being a guy that can then end up slowly being a part of it and you don't even realize it.
Oh, no doubt, Buck. And now it's legal in many states. It's legal here in Tennessee. And if you're an athlete here, I mean, who's going to know you've got an app downloaded and you're betting on it?
You can't. And that's the thing. You got to make sure you're having those conversations constantly. And each compliance department now has to also take that into effect. I don't trust the NCAA is going to ever do the things that are proactive, but I think these schools and these universities, as you're building your support staffs, and you're adding these analysts and you're adding everything else, make sure you add this so you can help guys filter through it so they can come to you before they even think about doing something. I think that's the real key. Because if they say, hey, this is what I was thinking, you can say, oh, hell no, don't do that. Or, okay, yeah, that's fine. Or the associations of the people that you're with. It may not even be you, but it's what you do as an athlete that they can say, hey, is such and such hurt this week? Or is this guy going to play? It's those little things, man, that worry me for the sport of football and basketball and baseball, especially at the college level.
Charles Arbuckle with us each and every Tuesday coming off Memorial Weekend. Buck, anything new from out west?
Man. Bill, there's some gold out there in the hills, man, but nobody can seem to mine it. It's nothing yet. Nothing yet. And I laugh because I talk to a lot of my guys that I played ball with out west, and we say the same thing. Get out of your own damn way. Find the best opportunity for you and put the stuff on TV. People really, you know, it's funny. The more I travel around any part of the country, they like the pack football. They like it. They just can't always see it. And I'm included in that. And I think it's going to become harder and harder unless they make it where you can find a game that's at that 10:30 slot. Because there's enough people that like it and want to see it that they'll watch it. Help them find it. Help them find you on TV. And I think that'll help all the way around. Because the Pac-12 network is ruining people's conceptions and perceptions of the conference. And it's about time. I speak up for them all the time, man. It's some great football if you can find it. And I think that's the part that they're having trouble with right now.
You know how I know who you are? TV. I was watching a game, and there's some guy, Charles Arbuckle, playing tight end, catching the ball. That's how I knew who you were.
Well, but think about it then, Bill. When we were playing, I would go home to Texas, or I'd go to other parts of the country. I went to New Jersey one time as a younger guy, and we had kids from New Jersey, but people knew me out in New Jersey. And this was right after college. This wasn't that far removed because we were on TV and had a good time slot. Our noon game was on, our 12:30 game was at 3:30, so everybody back east could see it. Now, we had late games that were also on, but not to the degree that it is now. And it was more prevalent in the pre-conference games because we were playing Nebraska, Oklahoma, you know, Miami at times. You know, we would play Alabama later after I left. So then you would get to see UCLA playing or USC or Cal or any of those. Washington. Washington has always traveled and not been afraid to go play places. So that's the thing. Knowing that you played out in the Pac-12 or Pac-8, Pac-10, you knew you had to travel. That was no problem. You said, okay, we got to go beat these guys wherever they are. That's the only way we're going to get exposure. But the problem now is the TV is so fragmented that they don't even have that clear. And they've got to clean that up in order for that conference to have any chance of sustaining and doing anything.
Buck, appreciate you being here, my friend. We'll see you next week.
All right, man. Hopefully no catastrophic stuff about conference realignment before we talk. All right, man. Thank you. Have a good one.
See you, man. Charles Arbuckle, fantastic.